And tonight we are going to turn to the personality of Boaz. So I think this is going to be a cool one because we're going to really be able to build now. You know, we had our first year where we did the basic introduction to the Megillah. We got the social historical background to what's happening with Bnei Yisrael, the situation at the end of Sefer Shoftim, the finger we put on the pulse, the lack of chesed, in particular, the lack of going with Nimishuras Adin that we have throughout Sefer Shoftim. We saw there was basically never any chesed in the whole book at all. And then when you have a society that just doesn't have chesed, by the end, it becomes a society with anti-chesed. It becomes a society which has collapsed into the ethos of Sodom. I hope that everyone's on the right Zoom. I hope that there's not like some problem happening like we've had in previous weeks. All right, we'll see. Then in last week, we discussed Rus, remember? And the basic image we tried to put together for Rus was, it goes without saying, somebody who exemplifies chesed and exemplifies chesed of going with Nim Meshuras Adin, going far beyond the letter of the law. But I think the you know, personality we tried to put together, the image and really the model of chesed that Rus is supposed to exemplify for us, is somebody who, the kind of chesed that's total self-sacrifice, and we all know people like this, they just give and give and give of themselves. Rus was doing that in every single one of the four prakim, giving up everything she has, and Rus doesn't have much, but whatever she has, she's giving up for Naomi in order to continue the legacy of Naomi's family, not even continue the legacy of her own family. That was one major piece. And the other major piece of Rus's personality, her like chesed biography, I guess, as we were putting it together, was somebody who is very private. You know, she's very, very modest. She does not speak very much. We go to the Mishnah and Avos, and Mor Me'at V'Aseh Harbeh, that really exemplified Rus. Somebody who doesn't speak a lot, but boy, oh boy, does she do a lot. You know, she only speaks to two people in the whole Megillah. She speaks to Naomi and she speaks to Boaz. And even when she speaks, we saw her, you know, the things that she has to say compared to what the other personalities of Megillah have to say. Remember, it's like, you know, Naomi and Perek Aleph goes on and on and on. And Naomi and Rus talks like for this, you know, Boaz more and more and more and more. And Rus with a couple of lines. She was not somebody of talk. She was somebody of deed. The kind of chesed personality who's intense, who's locked in on the mission. She's devoted to one person. Before we even heard Rus open her mouth, Megillah told us for Rus davka ba, Rus cleaves to Naomi, and then the whole rest of the Megillah is her following through on that mission. Somebody who knows what she's doing. She has a clear sense of right or wrong. She has a clear sense of what she's willing to do, and. There's no stopping her. Last thing that we really wanted to get from her, again, when it comes to like a chesed biography, is to realize that this doesn't always come easy. And we know, you know, it's kind of people, it seems like, oh, it's so natural for them to just go and give and give and give and give. But we saw that one window, really, that the Megillah gave us into some of the pain and the doubts that that Rus had, that moment where Boaz recognized her in the field. We'll have to talk about this now this week, Boaz's perspective, but Boaz comes over and recognizes and speaks to her. And Rus had said to Boaz that unbelievable line, Nichamtani, you've comforted me. And that just gave us like a small sense into the fact Rus knew full well what she was doing. She was, you know, it's not like she didn't have sleepless nights thinking, I gave up my family, my homeland, my future, all to live as some destitute, you know, alienated person with no hope and nothing to really live for. She had the pain about that. We shouldn't think just because somebody's able to rise to the occasion of chesed, it's not easy. You know, it's not like, oh, they're just a different kind of person than we are. She had the challenges and yet she's able to transcend. So now with this week, we come to Boaz. And what's so interesting about Boaz is that in many ways, we'll really see Boaz personality-wise is the exact opposite of Rus. Total, you know, if they were like the Shadchan would not put them together. You're looking at the baseball cards, you look at their lineage, you know, start with the easy stuff, right? Boaz, who comes from an extremely impressive background, He's descended from Nachshon ben Aminadab, the Nasi of Yehuda. You know, he's from the most important family, from the most important Shevet. And Rus, who's not only is she a Gioras, she's a Gioras from Moab, which it's not even clear if she's allowed to even marry into to Bnei Yisrael. We'll see. Boaz is somebody who's very public, while Rus was very private. Boaz is going to be somebody who speaks a whole bunch, while Rus didn't speak at all. But despite that being so, the two of them combine. Oh, the link is not working. Okay. I don't have to say about this. This is going to drive me nuts. So pause for 1 second. Where are we? Boaz, right. Despite the fact that, as we'll see, they have many, many differences, Boaz and Rus, the Megillah does link. And I'm going to now load up the screen share at the beginning of the source sheet over here. We'll see if we get through all this tonight. Where the Megillah calls each of them, you know, Boaz introduced as the Ishkibor Chayil, and Rus, we're told later on, Ki Eshes Chayil At. When it comes to the key points, the two of them are absolutely linked. As we're going to see tonight, is the fact that you could have different, you know, different personalities of Chesed. There are different facets of Chesed. Rus is going to exemplify one. Boaz is going to exemplify the other. And despite the fact that there are so many differences between them on like a kind of superficial personality level, it's the two of them coming together that are going to provide the fuel. They're going to provide the foundation for the Malchus based on it. Okay, so we'll start on attacking Boaz over here with Emor Harbei Vaasei Ma'at. Well, not Emor Harbei Vaasei Ma'at, but Emor Harbei. Boaz talks a lot. I mean that in two different ways. And you can see that again by the chart we have over here, with all the times that Rus speaks on the right-hand column and all the times that Boaz speaks in the middle column. Boaz speaks at length, and Boaz speaks to many, many, many people. Again, we said before, Rus speaks only to Naomi and Boaz. And when she speaks, she barely does. The blacks over here are when she talks to Naomi. The reds are when she talks to Boaz. And Boaz talks to somebody like the first time when Boaz and Rus speak in Perek Beis. So Rus speaks for like five lines total over here. And Boaz goes on and on and on and on and on. Right? When they speak in Perek Gimel, so Rus speaks once. And Boaz goes all the way down to the next page. Boaz, besides speaking at length, he speaks to the harvesters. When he first shows up, he speaks to the person who's running his crops. He speaks to Rus. He speaks to Plodi Almodi. He speaks to the judges. He speaks to the whole assembly. He'll speak to one individual. He'll speak to, doesn't matter if they're not important. They are important. Boaz is talking to them. He'll speak to all the judges. He'll speak to the whole Am. You know, Boaz is a Kenim, the Chol Ha'am, Idim Atem Hayom. So he is somebody who is very comfortable talking and talking and talking. And part of what we need to see tonight is, you know, the upsides of that, how being a gregarious, engaged, social personality can lead to one model of chesed, which Rus really doesn't have. You know, Rus was the one who was Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbei. She was a woman of deed. Boaz is a man of speech. And so we have to see how that does have positive contributions. And then we also need to see how that can come with major risks, major downsides. You know people who are particularly talkative. And sometimes it's fair to say it's not always for the best. So how can Boaz kind of harness all of the advantages of that kind of personality, you know, chesed profile, I guess you could say, while avoiding the potential pitfalls? That's the first major piece for us to take apart when it comes to Boaz. So I think the first thing for us to appreciate, Chazal are right on this one off bat, from the very first time Boaz ever speaks, is the ability to uplift with speech in a way that, you know, someone who's quieter never would. Boaz shows up in Beis Lachem, Yom LaKotzrim Hashem Imachem. Very, very interesting, very important. The first word out of Boaz's mouth is Yudke Vavke. Last week when it came, we were talking about Rus. We noticed that when Rus swore in Hashem's name, she uses the formulation, which is popular in Tanakh, of Ko Yaseh Hashem V'Ko Yosef. May God do this. But while almost everybody used the Elokim, Rus used the Shem Hashem, used the Shem Havaya, the Shem Yudke Vavke. The Shem Yudke Vavke is the very first thing that comes out of Boaz's mouth. Now that can indicate one of two things. either somebody who superficially is somebody who's always mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way Chazal described, for example, Esav in his conversations with Yitzchak. Oh, should I be separating Trumos and Maestros from my salt or whatever? You know, very presenting a certain facade. Or it can give an organic view into Boaz's inner nature. And as we'll see, this is for sure the latter. It's not a coincidence, but the first word out of Hashem's mouth, out of Boaz's mouth, is Hashem. Hashem imachem. He invokes Hashem. Hashem is on his mind. He is a true Yerei Shamayim. And he is somebody who, that's not just something that he lives for himself, but these are values that he is expressing outward. Boaz is a leader in a way that Rus's personality really isn't. Rus leads by example, but Rus isn't someone who is explicitly and intentionally trying to set the tone for those around her. Boaz is, and Chazal are on this one right here on the spot. The Medrash says that Boaz and his Bezdin established that this should be something people should do in general. Amar Boaz u'Bezdino ve'eskinu lish'ol shalom b'shem. This is something that Boaz tried to establish as official protocol in the community to welcome people, to say hello to people in the name of Hashem. The Medrash points out that the similar line of Hashem imcha gibor hachayil is used from the Malach to Gidon. As Al seems to be saying over here is that Boaz is instituting a certain formulation, and then the Malachim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Bezin Shel Malach, the Medrash says, agrees. So that's piece number one. The first advantage of really leaning into speech is the potential to uplift the community with it. Second one, speaking of community, is that Boaz is comfortable working on a communal level in a way that Rus really isn't. He's able to tap in, he's able to pull off certain things. That Rus works with Naomi, Rus works with Boaz. She is locked in on the individuals. Boaz is locked in on the community. And the fourth parak, after Rus has set the groundwork for everything to get until this point, but it takes Boaz to finish the deal. In the fourth parak, Rus disappears until the very end, when Boaz engages with Ploni Almoni and the whole city. And it's worth just reading the psukim a little bit just to get a sense of the energy and the leadership that Boaz has to bring to bear. It takes a strength of will. It takes energy and determination, and the confidence to impose one's will. Somebody could be a chesed person and not be somebody who thinks, I need to assert myself. Boaz has that, though, and there are times where that is absolutely essential, where it's not just enough to give, but sometimes you need to demand in order to pull off chesed. This is how Rus and Boaz are so complementary in terms of the chesed that each one is bringing to the table. Boaz, Allah hashar, he comes to the gate, Yeshev Sham, he's sitting there, Inea Goelo ver asher diber Boaz, there goes the Redeemer, Yomer, Suru, you know, come over. He yanks him out of his path. Oh, poor Goel, the poor Redeemer, he's just going to, you know, going grocery shopping or whatever. You know, he wanted to go catch Mincha. All of a sudden, Boaz drags him out of his line. You know, he had a whole plan for the day. Boaz is willing to assert. By Yomer, he'll use his power of speech, and he's going to tell him to get Sura Shiva Po Ploni Almoni. You come sit over here. Right? And the man listens. Vayasar, Vayeshev. When Boaz speaks, people listen. He's talking again, right? He tells them, you, Ploni Almoni, come here. You, 10 judges, you thought you had better plans for today? Nope, you're coming over here as well. And then what does he do? He talks and he talks and he talks about, right, maneuvering in order to get his end goal over here is for Ploni Almoni to renounce his rights to redeem Naomi's field in order that he can both do that and then redeem and marry Rus. But it's all happening through the power of his speech and his comfort and his energy speaking to others. The judges, Ploni Almoni, the community, you know, these are not quiet people. These are the big shots in town, the judges who are there. Ploni Almoni is a very, very important person, but Boaz is not going to shy away from them. And therefore, he's able to pull off the chesed of redeeming Rus from the fact that she is right now beholden, at least the field is beholden, well, to Ploni Almoni. But when we talk about the kind of personality who comes bringing the talk, you know, they're very comfortable talking at length, and they're very comfortable talking to all sorts of different people, we always need to ask, okay, are they going to follow through? There's a reason why Shammai Azakin and Perkei Avos said Amor Ma'at Ba'asei Harbei. His point in the Mishnah was, don't focus on the talking, because if you do, that's going to come at the expense of the doing. So when we have somebody who is Amor Harbei, does that come at the expense of the follow-through? Is Balaz going to be somebody like an Ephron Hachiti personality? Someone, again, it's very comfortable, Ephron Hachiti. He'll talk to Avram Avinu. Avram's one of the richest, most important people in Eretz Yisrael. Ephron's not shy. Ephron's confident. Ephron is gregarious. He'll schmooze with anybody who comes through his city. We know, by the end of the story, Ephron doesn't actually follow through on his word. What about Boaz? And once again, the Megillah makes a big deal about this, and Chazal once again are on the ball to flag it for us, that Boaz excels both in speaking and critically in following through on that. Without this, all of the advantages that one can have by using the Koach HaDibur, by using the Koach of speech, are going to come for naught. And yet, when Boaz is talking to Rus at night in Perek Gimel in the field, So what does he tell her? He says, stay here tonight. In the morning, here's what's going to happen. And then he says, kind of very interesting. Ugaltich anochi, I'll redeem you. Chai Hashem. That's a shvu, that's an oath, right? By God's life, shechvi ad aboker. Stay here tonight. Why does Boaz have to swear? Is it just Boaz's enthusiasm? Like Rus swore in the first parak, so Boaz has to swear in the third parak. What's going on? Why is Boaz swearing? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that Boaz had to swear because Rus wasn't sure that he was committed. Amra lo bidvarim ata motini. Rus says to Boaz, "You're good at talking. You're saying words. You're telling me. You're promising me the moon. Yeah. Tomorrow." You're going to find Ploni Almoni. You're going to find the judges. You're going to get him to agree to the deal. You yourself will commit to the deal. You'll redeem me. You'll redeem the field. You're promising me everything, Boaz. I don't believe you. Bidvarim atamotsiini. This is what Rashi says. Rus says to Boaz, you're someone who knows how to talk, but how do I know that you are going to follow through? Continues Rashi. Kafats v'nishbala te'inu motsiya bidvarim. That at that moment, Boaz gets up and he swears that he's not just saying words, he's going to follow through. Rus, the personality of Emor Ma'at, the person who's very wary of speaking at length, who's focused all on deed, she hears Boaz talk. And rather than that be something that gets her excited, like everyone else in the city, that is something that gets her very, very wary. It's not her style. It's not the way she goes about doing things. And it makes her suspicious. And therefore, Boaz has to swear and say, Chai Hashem. Now, once again, going back to the Yudke Vavke, which Boaz is very comfortable invoking, the fact that he is one a person who is about talk does not come at the expense of his action. In fact, by this, Boaz backs this up. There are two times in the Megillah where we have the same exact pattern over here, where Boaz is going to make a commitment, and then the Nami is going to encourage Rus on the follow-through. And it's kind of interesting because each time there was like an echo of something that happened with Rus and Naomi before. So in Perek Beis, when Rus is in the field, so Boaz says to Rus, we got to revisit these sukkim a little bit. But Boaz says to Rus, Shemapiti al telchi lo kopas adacher, right? Don't go anywhere. Because sidbakin im narosai, cleave to my young women, right? The young women working in my field. Stick with them, and go after them, right? So don't go away. Stay here and cleave to my na'arot. That is the promise that Boaz is making to Rus. You will be able to glean. You'll be able to glean successfully, in peace. You'll be fed. You'll be given water. It's all going to be okay. Rus quotes some of that language to Naomi when she gets home. And Naomi has to encourage Rus. Naomi has to encourage Rus that yes, Boaz is going to live up to his word. You know, he's going to follow through on his commitment. Katomer Naomi al Rus kalasa tov biti ki seitziim na'arosav velo yifku ubach. Right? Just like Boaz said, No, he said, Levilti Negech, they're not gonna bother you. Rus, Nami asked Tatel Rus, clearly, reading between the lines, Rus had her doubts. Okay, this man is making a promise to me, but I'm suspicious of promises. And Nami asked Tatel Rus, he's going to follow through. And sure enough, the very next pasuk tells us, Batid Bak Benar Benaros Boaz, Ad Kalos Kasir Sarim Kasir Chitim. Right, the follow through happened. Boaz had said, cleave to my Narot. Sure enough, Rus is able to do exactly that. And it is, you know, kind of a parenthetical remark in terms of the reward that Rus gets for her chesed. So once again, there's a pattern over here. Right before this chesed that Boaz had given to Rus, unknowingly, Rus had used strikingly similar language of chesed in her conversation with Naomi. Right? Right before Rus, famously, Rus Davkaba, Rus was cleaving to Naomi. She wouldn't leave her. One parak later, Boaz telling Rus, Kosi Batkin Imnarosa, you should cleave to my Narot. Right? You stuck with your mother-in-law. You now get to stick with my Narot. You're going to get fed. We see the Hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming through over here, the reward for some of Rus's chesed. Rus had said, Al Tifki Ibi Lazvech, don't make me leave you. I want to stay here. And then Boaz saying, Al Telchi, right? Don't go. Right? Al Asher Telchi Eilech. Rus had said, I'm going to go wherever you go. And now Rus Boaz saying, Halach Tacharayhan, I'll tell you where to go. You follow after my people. I'm going to feed you. So in the previous barak, we had Rus cleaving to Naomi. And now we have Boaz telling Rus, now you get to cleave and you get to get food. Right? But the key point for us is Rus, once again, her suspicion of Boaz, and Boaz, sure enough, Naomi is correct, and Boaz comes through on his commitment. That same exact pattern is repeated in Parag Gimel, the episode in the field, where Boaz promises the moon, right? As we saw, Rashi was quoting the Medrash that Rus made, wasn't sure, and called him out on it, and Boaz even swore. By the end of the Parag, Rus comes back to Naomi, and once again, Naomi has to boost Rus's confidence. Lo yishkot ha'ish ki im ki la davar ayom. Don't worry, man's going to take care of things. He's not going to rest until he finishes this off today. And sure enough, once again, right one pasuk later, right in Parak Beis, Naomi gave the reassurance to Rus, and one pasuk later, the commitment followed through. And here, once again, Parak Gimel going into Parak Dalet, Naomi encourages Rus that Boaz will stick to his commitment. And one pasuk later, uBoaz ala hashar. Boaz does immediately follow through on what he had committed, right? So it shouldn't be surprising, given the personality gaps we have here, for Rus to have these suspicions, and you see that Boaz is absolutely following through. Once again, just for us to note, the reward that Rus gets for her chesed earlier in the parak, when Naomi had told Rus to go down to the field, in an episode we really need to talk more about probably next week, I guess, maybe a little bit of this week. So Rus had said to Naomi, Kol asher tori elai aseh, whatever you say, I will do. Boaz, a few seconds later, says the exact same thing to Rus again. Kol asher tori aseh lach, whatever you say, I will do. So Rus is getting her reward, but you know, tonight's shiur is focusing on Boaz, the man who speaks, but despite that, the man who is avoiding one of the major downfalls of speech, he is able to state his commitments. Okay. Now, the second major piece to the chesed profile of Boaz, right? We talked about Naomi, we talked about Rus, that was the total self-sacrifice, lefnim mishuras hadin, and that was the modesty and the intensity of the one-on-one relationship with the loyalty to Naomi. Boaz, we should be clear, does also fit the pattern of lefnim mishuras hadin. He does give tremendous amounts of tzedakah to Rus and to Naomi in an environment where no one else is giving them anything. In an environment where everyone else is, Naomi deserves it. She abandoned us. She gets what's coming to her. And this random convert from Moab. We have nothing to do with Moab. Worse than that, Moab's our enemy. We're not dealing with these people. So Boaz, 100%, 180 degrees in the other direction. He follows through also on the Ge'ulah. He marries Rus when Ploni Almoni isn't willing to do so at all. But despite that, we have to acknowledge that if we want to talk about chesed as self-sacrifice, we can't really look to Boaz in the same way we look to Ruth. I mean, Boaz, life is good, right? The man's rich, the man's respected. He's generous in terms of what he gives to Ruth and to Naomi, but it's not like the man's going hungry because of the food that he gave him, right? Ruth is risking starvation when she goes along with Naomi. By the end of the story, the way Chazal read it, especially if Boaz dies that night, Rus ends the Megillah without a husband, and without even a child, because we talked about last week, Oved is really Naomi's child. She gives up everything in her life for her mother-in-law. Self-sacrifice, that's Rus. Again, Boaz does the Lefnim Meshuras Hadin. We can't really look to him as the exemplar of Chesed Elfs, as self-sacrifice. But what we can look to him for is a chesed of a different form of leadership. That same Mishnah in Avos, where Shammai told us, "Emor ma'at v'asei harbei," don't talk, but do. That was Rus's line. Shammai also says, "Having makabelas kol adam asever panim yafos." Anybody you see, you should greet with a friendly face. And Boaz, who, you know, despite being that person who's engaging and public, and you would think that that would be exactly the kind of person, the leader, the prominent person, the wealthy man, the one everyone's looking up to, the ones everyone's talking to, that would be the person who is not going to notice the small folk, not going to notice the downtrodden, the oppressed, the ignored, the person that's off in the corner that no one else, the man's in the center of the room and is the center of attention. He's talking to all the Zakenim at the gate, all the big shots. Usually that person is not the one to notice the person quietly suffering in the corner. Yet, Boaz is able to do that as well. When Boaz talks to everybody, that doesn't, you know, detract from his attention to the people who have needs. That enhances it. Because Boaz talks to everybody. Having makabel es kol adam besever panim yakos. And this is the key to his major chesed, which is his relationship and how he's able to help save Rus herself. And there's so many pieces about this to unpack. Let's just cover a few. Leading up to the meeting between Boaz and Ruth, the first meeting between them in the field, the Megillah cannot remind us enough times that Ruth is from Moab. So the very last pasuk of Parak Aleph, Batashav Naomi v'Ruth ha-Moavia. We know that Ruth is from Moab. The whole parak that we just read was talking about them coming from Moab. But the Megillah has to remind us that Ruth is from Moab. Two psukim later, the Megillah says it again. I'm going to go and I'm going to glean some grain. Again, why do you have to remind me that Rus is a Moaviyah? I get it. I know it already. A couple psukim later, Boaz shows up to visit his field. In classic Boaz fashion, he's not too important to talk to his employees. Right away, he's talking to the Kotz Rim. The Kotz Rim are on a much lower socioeconomic level than Boaz is. But he's talking to the Kotzrim, he's talking to them warmly, engagingly, Hashem imachem, v'yom ulo yibarechach Hashem. They're matching his style of speech. He's uplifting them as we've seen before. And then, we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, but it's worth revisiting. Boaz talks to the Na'ar who's in charge of the Kotzrim, the supervisor. This is a conversation which is less surprising for Boaz to have. He would expect the landowner to talk to the person who's in charge. And he says, Lemi hana'arazos. Which is an amazing line. The first thing he asks about, right? He's coming to check on his crops. He's not asking, how's the harvest going? How's the weather been? Who's been productive? Who's not been productive? The first thing he asks about is Lemi hana'arazos. He sees that unknown woman in the corner of the field and he asks, who is she? In other words, what does Boaz do as soon as he gets to the field? He surveys the scene and he wants to account for every single person who's there. Okay, I know who you are. I know your story. I know what you need. I know what you're up to. Hey, I don't know you. What's going on? Right? He's trying to identify every single person and what is their story? What do they need? And he says, Lemi hana'arazos. Megillah continues with this great, great line from the Na'ar Hanitzav al HaKotzrim. It's hilarious, honestly. How many ways could he shtach Rus in one pasuk? Vayomer, Na'ara Moaviyahi. She's a Moabite woman. Hashava im Naomi, she came back with Naomi, Miste Moab. So she's a Moabite from Moab. Right. She's the Moabite. You know, remember from Moab? Remember she's from Moab, that Moabite? He doesn't mention her name. He just mentions that she's from Moab. He mentions it twice. So it's clear what the Na'ar's perspective is, right? Then the Megillah, this Megillah is building up to what Boaz does. We've had Ruth HaMoaviyah, Ruth HaMoaviyah. She's a Moabiyah. She's from Moab. Immediately, what does Boaz say? Vayomer Boaz El Rus. And your ears are waiting, like, wait, Vayomer Boaz El Rus HaMoaviyah, right? That's supposed to be the next line in the Pasuk. But it's not. That's what the Megillah is building up to over here. Because Boaz doesn't see a Na'ara Moaviyah. He doesn't see a woman from Sede Moab. Oh, she's the one who came back from Nami. Remember, Nami abandoned us. No, Boaz sees a young woman indeed. He goes over, he notices her. He asks what's going on. He then goes over and approaches her. We should, like, imagine, the owner of the field never speaks to the poor people who are gleaning the leket or the payah. Kal v'chomer, when it's a big landowner who has multiple fields, this doesn't happen. And yet Boaz does it, and not just with anybody, but with Rus. And he said, Ve'omer Boaz al Rus, alo shamat biti. And immediately he's talking to her warmly, my daughter, and he's just giving her chesed and chesed and chesed. And Rus is blown away. Atomre lav madua matasi chin beinecha. But now it's interesting. What should Rus thank Boaz for? Boaz has just said, you're starving, and I'm going to save you from starvation. You'll be able to get a parnasa, benachas. They'll leave you alone. You'll eat, you'll drink, you'll get food. Those are some of the things that Rus should be thanking Boaz for. And yet, what is the thanks that Rus expresses? Madua matzasi chein beinacha lehaki reini, to recognize me, v'anochi nachriya. Rus doesn't thank Boaz for all of the material things he has just given her in one pasuk. She is thanking him for the basic fact, you recognize me as a person. Vanochi nachriya, I am foreign, I'm an alien, I'm from Moab. I'm the Moabiyam, stay Moab. And yet Boaz doesn't see that. Anywhere Boaz looks, he sees a person. He sees the Tzelem Elokim, and he interacts with them in kind. Makabel kol adam besever panim yachos. That is the kind of public chesed that Boaz's chesed personality profile is able to bring to the Megillah. And once again, we sense, you know, again here, what were the feelings that Rus had, right? What is the suffering and alienation, suffering in silence? But it's almost painful, you know, to read or say, like, thank you so much for just recognizing me. But yeah, you know, sometimes in life, it's not the huge heroic self-sacrificing chesed that's necessary. Sometimes the chesed that's necessary is just the basic ability to see the other person, to relate to the other person, and to respect and to connect to the other person. And that is what Boaz is able to do over here. And we can get a sense of how Rus herself is elevated by Boaz's interaction with her. How the chesed impacts on Rus by the way Rus talks to him in Perek Beis versus the way she talks to him in Perek Gimel. There must be people who point this out, but it's really amazing. In Perek Beis, Rus says to Boaz, "Anochi nachriya, like, why are you even talking to me? I'm a nachriya. I don't belong here." And then what does she say in Perek Gimel when Boaz finds her lying down next to him in the field? Once again, she says who she is, but this time it's Vatomer Anochi Rus Amasecha. No longer Anochi Nachriya. I'm not some foreign nameless woman. Anochi Rus. Right? Boaz gave Rus her name back. He's the first one in the Megillah to call her by her name. Rus. He talked to Rus. And now Rus is able to absorb that. And there's the elevation you have. She's able to have the confidence to go to him the next parak and say, you have responsibilities. And now you're somebody, you've interacted with me as a person. And that gives me the confidence to go and ask for more. You know, you talk about mitzvah, goreres mitzvah, not for the chesed that Boaz had shown Rus in Perek Beis. Rus may never have had the confidence to give Boaz the opportunity to show more chesed in Perek Gimel. But it all begins with that basic lehaki ring. So basic. Okay. Now, it comes up again, just this basic recognizing in the parak in the field. It happens at night. We got to talk about what that means in a second. Right away, what does Boaz do when he finds this woman who's lying by his feet? He may be naked. It's unclear what exactly it means when it says that Rus had revealed his legs. It's obviously an extremely sexually tense situation. The first thing he does, though, almost instinctively, you get woke up in the middle of the night, like literally, you get woke up in the middle of the night, you don't get a person's instinct more rawly than that. By Yomer Mi'at, who are you? Who, it's that, it's the sort, it's the, Boaz usually is a talker. Here it's like two words, you get like strip everything away from Boaz. In his core, the core essence of Boaz is to identify the other person. Mi'at. No one else in the Megillah is asking, who are you? They're all ignoring. There's no effort to connect, to uncover, to really get into the other person. That's something that Boaz is able to do. And it's this which is able to help Boaz succeed where others in a similar situation fail. Once again, we can go back to the potential weaknesses of the Boaz personality profile, right? We talked about the talker, the public persona. One of the potential problems there is somebody who talks but doesn't commit, the Ephron Achiti. We've seen the Megillah address that explicitly multiple times. That's not Boaz. Second potential problem is the person who is so, hocking up with the big shots that they don't notice the person who's actually in need, or they don't actually develop the deep connection. Boaz is able to avoid that as well. It is specifically Boaz of all people who connects to Rus. The third thing is that when you have somebody who is so, energetic, somebody who's so public, so enthusiastic, there can be a certain lack of restraint, right? David HaMelech, honestly, is probably the best person to look to in this regard. This is one of the reasons why Shmuel HaNevi is so nervous when he first meets David and sees him red in the face. High energy, high emotion, but there's a lot of danger that can come with that. There's anger that David shows at different points in his tenure. The whole episode of Bathsheba is something that comes from the Yetzer Hara that David has. Right? Along with the energy, you have the engine, you have the accelerator pedal. Often it doesn't come with the brake pedal. So how is Boaz able to pull this off? How is Boaz, and Chazal are so into this one, right? How is Boaz able to resist the temptation to sleep with Rus right here when no one else is around, right? The parallels to the other episodes in Chumash are dramatic, right? One being Lot and his two daughters. Again, you have a situation where we need a geula, we need a redemption, we need to get a baby in order to carry things on to the next generation, because regular marriage isn't going to do the trick. What happens there? The two daughters seduce Lot, and the Torah tells us twice, Lo yada, Lot didn't know. Now, Chazal like to say, yeah, Lo yada b'shechva. He didn't know at the beginning, but by the end of the day, Lot had certainly had some idea. But there's no connection happening. Lot doesn't see the woman who he's with on a person-to-person level. It's a sexual object. The sexual object in this case happens to be his daughter. But that's how that's able to happen. Lo yada. There's no connection. Gracious Lamed Ches, Yehuda and Tamar, the exact same thing happens. Tamar covers her face. Vayera Yehuda ve'achshava lizona kisapaneh. And there's absolutely no connection. Well, Yehuda doesn't know. He doesn't ask her name, doesn't know her identity. The fact that he could even talk to her and not realize he's talking to his daughter-in-law underlines the fact she's someone here who's offering a service. He wants to pay for the service, and that's it. We move on. It's a total contractual object relationship. The way that Boaz is able to put slam on the brakes and not do the same thing is he doesn't relate to the woman next to him as an object. He immediately asks, Mi'at, you are a person. And once I can react and relate to the person on a person-to-person level, that is what is going to enable him to keep the Yetzer Hara in check. Chazal, just to give a couple of examples of this, Chazal are super into Boaz's restraint over here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tokvo shel Yosef an viduso shel Boaz. Now, as impressive as Yosef was when he denied Yetzer Hara with Eishes Potiphar, that's that's humble compared to Boaz. Boaz, where it was permissible for him to do what with Ruth, and she's not the wife of his boss. Boaz had a much, much easier time doing and trying to justify what he did than Yosef. And I think it's not a coincidence, by the way, that Chazal put Yosef and Boaz in the same position over here. Boaz is linked with Yehuda. I'm going to talk about this more in a couple of minutes. The parallels between Boaz and Ruth with Yehuda and Tamar is something which the Megillah is even going to mention explicitly at the end of the Megillah. But besides being linked to Yehuda, Boaz is also linked here with Yosef. The two leaders of the Shvatim, Yehuda and Yosef, are the two that are going to be brought into Boaz over here. And the leadership of Yehuda, Boaz is now going to bring that back. But the restraint of Yosef, Boaz is able to pull off as well. He's able to redeem the failure of his ancestor Yehuda by adding what we had with Yosef. Yosef's restraint, Boaz is able to pull that off. That, by the way, is going to be transmitted, as I'll say in Vayikra Rabba, to Boaz's descendant. There are three people we find who have a mighty Yetzer Hara, and yet they swear, take an oath in order to defeat it, and they are Yosef, David, and Boaz. They have Yosef, and then we go to Boaz, and then from Boaz to Boaz's descendant, David. The Medrash describes, we should get a sense of how easy it would have been for Boaz to rationalize to go ahead with the activity. Rabbi Yudan Omar, Kol Osa Halayla, a Yitzro Hara, Mitzaro, Mufata Bidvar. The whole night long, Boaz is Yitzro Hara, right? All night. Yosef, it's a few minutes and he runs away. Boaz has to lie down next to Rus in the field the entire night. And the whole night, Yitzro Hara is seducing him. The Omar Lo, At Panoi Vihipnuya. You're single, Boaz, the tradition of Chazal, and she's single. Ata mivakesh isha, you want a wife. Ve mivakesh is ish, and she wants a husband. Amod uba'ala, go and have relations with her. Bitikna lach bebe'ila, and you can acquire her through be'ila. The Mishnah Kiddushin says there are three ways that marriage can be performed. One of them is bia. You can have marriage through sexual relations. So everything can be done. Kedas v'chadin. Everything can be done legally. It is right there for you, Boaz. It is so easy to rationalize the deed. Liyitzur hara nishba chay Hashem. Right? And then Boaz says, no, right? He swears the name of Hashem. He's not going to do it. He tells her, stay here until the morning. Now, the Gemara doesn't shy away from this. I mean, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it said before, you want a sense of what Boaz did. Tokva shal Yosef, Avanusha shal Boaz, Dechsev, Vahiba chatzia laila v'yacharat ha'ish, v'yalaf. So it was the middle of the night. The man trembled, v'yalaf. What does it mean, v'yalaf? So the old translation of this was what? I don't even know. Weird. Amrav shenase b'saro karashe l'fatos. So Rav says his flesh turned like the head of a turnip. In other words, he was sexually excited. It was the same, Mara's not shying away over here. He is absolutely ready. The desire is there. The excuse is there. And yet, Boaz slams on the brakes. The way he's able to do it is, right, two pieces. Mi'at, relating on a person-to-person level. And then, Chai Hashem, invoking Kadosh Baruch Hu, but combining the Bein Adam L'Chavero and the Bein Adam L'Makom to keep the Yetzer Hara in check. Now, I want to talk about Boaz, the descendant of Yehuda, as the tikkun for Yehuda. Redeeming that model of leadership. Last week we talked about Rus as the tikkun for Lot, repairing the mistakes of Lot. Now the mistakes of Yehuda are A, not as dramatic, and B, Yehuda himself repairs his mistakes in Sefer Bereishis. And despite that, we look at Boaz as the redeemer of those as well. Remember before the key line that Rus said to Boaz, why do you recognize me? Vanochi Nachariah. That idea of hakara, of recognizing. Well, that calls back to that idea of recognizing was the key word in the Yehuda story, where Yehuda says to his brothers first, Ma batza kina roga sachinu. What advantage is it to us to kill our brother Yosef? What's Yehuda saying here? Yehuda is exemplifying not the model of chesed we talked about in the first year. Yehuda is exemplifying the quid pro quo that we talked about in the first year, right? The people in the beginning of Shoftim, they weren't mean. They weren't evil. They were a quid pro quo. Yehuda turns to Shimon and says, you help me, and I'll help you. You don't help me, I won't help you. That transactional mode Yehuda has when he talks to the brothers, what advantage will it be to us to kill Yosef? Not talking on a moral level or an ethical level, a principled level. No, my betza. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelim. We'll make some money. I won't have to dirty our hands with his blood. That's the mindset Yehuda has in Perek Lamed Zayin. And then what do the brothers say, led by Yehuda? Haker na kason es bincha hiim lab. Recognize the shirt. Haker, this idea of recognizing. And famously, one parak later, Yehuda gets called out for this when Tamar sends the signet ring and the trinkets, which identify Yehuda as the man who slept with her before. Vayaker Yehuda, right? Yehuda recognizes. That idea of recognizing was Yehuda's failure over here. Boaz now, through recognizing the other, is coming to redeem that. The chesed that Boaz has, the hakara that Boaz has, and the restraint that Boaz has when faced with a similar situation to Yehuda. The Megillah, we said before, is basically explicit at time, putting a bow on this at the end of the Megillah. After Boaz acquires the field and acquires Rus, so all the people say, they give a bracha, Yitin Hashem Asayisha Ba'a Be'Sacha, Ki Rachel V'Chalaya, putting Rachel and Leah together, Yosef and Yehuda, the two houses of Bnei Yisrael, the two major shvatim of leadership, are being combined in Boaz with Rus. Ki Rachel Uchleya, Asher Banu Shtehem as Beis Yisrael. You're going to do the same thing. Ba'aseh Chayel Be'Efrasa, make Chayel in Efrat. Boaz is the Ish Chayel, Rus is the Ish Chayel, and they're going to produce Chayel. Behi Be'Escha Kebe'es Peretz, Asher Yoldat Tamar LeYehuda. And the bracha is that their house should be like the house of Peretz, which Tamar produced for Yehuda. The Megillah is explicit then in bringing that all back. We're going back to the source of Yehuda, except this time we're going to do things right the entire way. Now, Yehuda himself was the model of tshuva, now, which is critical. Now, the second time around, the descendant of Yehuda gets to do everything right, everything correctly, the first time. And that's what Boaz is pulling off over here. And we're going to talk about the tikkun that Boaz has for the individual of Yehuda. We also need to appreciate the way that Boaz is a tikkun here for the failures of Shevet Yehuda. Right? Some of this we touched on again a couple of weeks ago, but it's all coming back together now. Now that we look at Boaz, we can come back and appreciate the broader picture. Shevet Yehuda in Sefer Shoftim is a failure. Not a surprise. Because everybody who is supposed to lead in Sefer Shoftim is a failure. There are three shvatim of leadership, Yehuda, Yosef, and Levi. Levi is a disaster, but set them aside for now. That's an issue in Sefer Shmuel, because Shmuel is the one from Shevet Levi who has the redemption of Levi over there. But there's no leadership in the Kohanim in Sefer Shoftim. Yosef, the Shevet Ephraim, is a Shevet of leadership. Yoshua was from Ephraim. We don't find any leadership at all. The Ephraim is consistently a problem. And Sefer Shoftim, not a solution. We're always starting civil wars. I don't think any Shoftim, at least no prominent Shoftim from Shevet Ephraim. And the third Shevet, Shevet Yehuda. And Shevet Yehuda, in many ways, is the most consistent disappointment throughout the Sefer. The Sefer starts with Yehuda's failure, ends with Yehuda's dramatic failure, and sprinkles in more failure from Yehuda in between. So we saw a couple of weeks ago, right, the book beginning with Yehuda asking, who should start fighting? Hashem says, Yehuda ya'aleh. Inena sati sa'aretz biyado. And what does Hashem mean? Yehuda should start conquering the whole land. All Yehuda, the rest of the land that Yeshua didn't conquer. Yehuda should lead it now. And instead of interpreting it that way, Yehuda shifts into the mode of quid pro quo. Yom Yeshua l'shemon achiv. I'll help you if you help me. Moshe Rabbeinu never led that way. Yehoshua ben Nun never led that way. But Yehuda introduces the limited, narrow, tribal quid pro quo mode of thought that is created by Yehuda, the very beginning of Sefer Shoftim. And so, as we said a couple of weeks ago, it's just worth refreshing. It's not surprising that by the end of the book, we have the total parallel to that, where Bnei Yisrael get up and they ask Hashem who should go to war first, except this time it's not fighting the Canaanim, it's fighting Binyamin. Yomer Hashem, Yehuda batchila, Yomer Hashem, Yehuda ya'aleh. They've totally collapsed. Now Yehuda is leading the fight. Yehuda is leading a united Klal Yisrael just against Shevet Binyamin. There are Asniel ben Kenaz is the shofet at the beginning of the book, and we never find leadership from Shefer from Yehuda ever again. Yehuda shows up two other times, besides the beginning of the book and the end of the book. They show up in Parak Tezva, in the Shimshon story, and it's really pathetic. The Plishtim come to Yehuda, and okay, now's a problem. So the Plishtim want Yehuda want Shimshon. So they go to Shevet Yehuda. And what does Yehuda do? They show leadership. Do they go to Shimshon and say, what can we do? What's our solution? We're the Shevet of leadership. You're the Shofet. You're strong. We're strong. Let's work together. No. They say, Lama alisem alenu. Lasura Shimshon. So they go to Shimshon and they rat him out. They say they don't lead. You know, Shevet Dan is the weakest of the Shoftim, of the Shvatim. And Yehuda, instead of leading, wants to hand and Shimshon. He goes along with it. But there's no leadership from them with Shimshon. It's pathetic. Right? Tying him up and giving him over to the Plishtim rather than taking a stance. And then a couple of prakim later, the parak of the beginning of Pesal Micha, so there's a guy from Beis Lachem Yehuda, Mishpachas Yehuda Levi. So he's like kind of Yehuda. He's kind of a Levi. He's not confused what he is, but whatever was going on in Yehuda and in Levi, he's like totally lost. No direction, no leadership. He's wandering around. He ends up being a priest in a temple. So Shevet, one of the failures in Shoftim, which is the failure of leadership, there's no king, is a failure of the Shevet of leadership. And so now we have the redemption coming through the personality of Boaz, who all the leadership attributes he has, all the speech, all the publicity, all the energy, coupled with all the chesed and integrity and restraint, that comes together to produce the person who is positioned to set up leadership and malchus going forward. And so the Megillah ends with a total callback, right? We're putting Boaz in the framework and the lineage of Shevet Yehuda, specifically through Peretz. Peretz, Chetzron. The point is not just to establish the lineage of David. Right? The Megillah ends with David, but it's not all just to get to David. It's also putting Boaz in that framework. We've restored Shevet Yehuda's leadership that was gone in Shoftim, but now in Rus, you can say, hey, look, father to son, we go directly from, we have a direct link of Peretz, the Shevet of leadership, all the way down to David. This has all been created, this image has been created by Boaz and the activity that he does. And there's just one source I just want to close with. We talk about Malchus. What does kingship look like? And the Rambam describes this beautifully in the end of the second chapter of Sefer Melachim. And the Rambam doesn't talk here about the military excellence of the king. He doesn't talk about the economic vision or the diplomatic skill the king has, even the wisdom and judgment. What does the Rambam focus on in Parak Beis? It says, "Kederach shachalak lo akasav hakavod hagadol v'chiyav hakol b'chvodo." Just like the Torah gives great kavod to the king. That's what the Rambam has described in the previous five halachos of the chapter. Kach tzivo lasos libo b'kerbo shafal v'chalal. The king needs to be humble. V'lo yinhag gasos leib b'Yisrael yesem yidai. He shouldn't hold himself up too haughtily. V'lti rum levavo me'achav. Okay, starting to feel like Boaz. V'yachonen umrachem. You should be merciful. Liktanim ugdolim. Both with the small and with the great. He should go out and he should come for all the things that they need and all their good. The king needs to care about the kavod of the smallest of the small. And that is Boaz, the one and only person. His workers, his harvesters, the minimum wage labor he has is ignoring and not looking at Rus. But he is the one who cares about the kavod katan shabik tanim. And that is the mida that needs to be given to the king. He speaks, and it's important for a king to speak. King can't be quiet. No, Rus can be quiet. Rus can be the mother of the king. Rus wouldn't be the king. She would be the first one to decline the job. But Boaz, who's really giving us the malchus over here, when you speak, you have to speak. This is David Melech over here. Right? My brothers, my nation. You have to talk to people and know how to talk to people. Omer, Mayom Tiyah, Abed La'am Hazab, Agomer. La'olim Yisnaheg Ben Avay Seira. He always has to be extraordinarily humble. Ein Lano Gadol Mi Moshe Rabbeinu, Behu Omer. V'nachnu Ma Lo Aleinu Tzluno Seichem. Nobody's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisbol Tarcham Asam Tzlorasam, because some Asher Yassam, Omein Nasa Yonik. You have to handle everything throughout you like the nursemaid handles the baby. Ro'ak Ro'akasuv. The Torah calls him a shepherd. Liros Yaakov Amo. The king isn't someone who's a big shot. The king is a shepherd who has to care for every single sheep. And that is the chesed of Boaz. So for the two of them together, right? Rus, the individual loyalty, the quiet passion, the self-sacrifice is the one model of chesed we have. That gets all of Klal Yisrael back on track. And then that unites with Boaz, who takes things on the communal level. It is literally the DNA of the two of them coming together to create the ultimate form of chesed, which is going to lead to the Melech, going to lead to David. So we'll stop here, Mitzvah Shem. And then next week, we'll close the series by looking at the most complicated personality in the Megillah, and that is Nami. So looking forward to then. If anyone has any questions, love to hear. Otherwise, have a great week, everybody, and looking forward till next time.
Thank you so much.